5. Gimel Adar Sheni, Sunday the 13th of March, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Purim Behind the Scenes.
Everyone, I want to repeat over a tremendous yesod, an idea, something which is negeah for Purim, something which is relevant for our everyday lives, an amazing idea which all the mafarshim discuss, talk about. It's a basic idea, but I want to go over it. I want to bring it out a little bit. A quick overview. I'm going to begin with four questions. I'm going to say over the yesod, explain how it answers the questions, and see how it's relevant to us. So to begin with, four questions. Question number one. Every single day, the Gaon points this out already, we must ki Yetzias Mitzrayim. Daily, twice a day in Kriya Shema, we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. At every opportune moment we try, we make sure to bring in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's understandable, tremendous nisim, tremendous niflois, literally open miracles for the whole world to see. It was an amazing, amazing event. And it's understandable that it's expected and it's incumbent upon us to mention it, to be mazgrit constantly, to be mispainant, to contemplate the niflois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Frank the Gaon, that Pesach at the most was mi avdus lecheiros. Klal Yisrael wa avodim, we were slaves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu set us free. Whereas, says the Gaon, when it comes to Purim, Purim was mi misa lechaim. Klal Yisrael were going to be killed. We were going to disappear. There was no longer going to be a Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. A massive nisim took place and we were saved. Oybazai says the Gaon, what's pshat that when it comes to Purim, there's not a mention of Purim throughout the year. We never mention it. Not even on Yom Tov. Not once. Only when it comes to Purim we talk about it. But throughout the year there's no mention of it. Says the Gaon, what's the difference between Pesach, which at the most was mi avdus lecheiros, that we mention constantly, whereas Purim, we don't mention at all, even though that was mi misa lechaim. That's question number one. Question number two, the Gaon also asks the Gemara and Chulin, Koflametes on the base. The Gemara is going through various people, asking why you see allusions to them in the Torah. And the Gemara says, Esther min ha-Torah minayin. Pasha Taish, the Gemara, it's Mavon, the Gemara is asking, where do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles through Tzadikim? Afraid to go on again. Was there no one until Esther that the Gemara has to choose Esther to ask the question? What about the thousands of Tzadikim, the thousands of Nevi'im that lived before Esther, that miracles took place? What is so special? What is the yichud about Esther that dafka by Esther, the Gemara comes along and says, Esther min ha-Torah minayin. What's so special about Esther? The Gaon asks. That's question number two. Question number three, the Gemara in Yuma. Rabbi Yitzchak Naivishitz asks this question. The Gemara in Yuma, Choftes Amud Aleph. The Gemara comes along and is discussing the Mizmor that Esther composed before she entered into the chamber of Achashverosh. And the Gemara is discussing various details about it, on Atzech, on Ayeles, HaShachar. And the Gemara explains that when Esther says Ayeles, Ayeles was referring to her, a deer. She compared herself to an Ayeles. And the Gemara continues and says that Esther made a comparison between herself and Shachar. Manatech ala yeles ha-Shachar. And the Gemara says that Esther said that just like Shachar is soif ha-Laila, Shachar is the end moments of night when night is finishing, so too, says the Gemara, Esther is soif ha-Laila. Esther was one of the big miracles, one of the last miracles that took place in Klal Yisrael on such a great magnitude. That's what the Gemara says, that just like Shachar is the end of the night, so too Esther is Soif HaLaila, says the Gemara. She's the last of the Nisim. Frankly, Yonis and Ivashitz, we mentioned just yesterday, and some of us more often, Lahagid Ba'boiker Chastecha Ve'munoscho Ba'leilois. Pasha Taish in these words means, Lahagid Ba'boiker Chastecha, Ba'boiker in the morning, When the Yad Hashem is clear, when it's clear to all, we see that there is a God in the world running it, then it's Lahagid Ba'Boiker Chastecho. We can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. We can see it as clear, the Yad Hashem is clear to all. Whereas, V'emunoscho Ba'Leilois, when we come to the night, to the Laila, to the Choshech, to the Golos, when there's a Hester and we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, then it's V'emunoscho. We have to hold on to our emunah, to our faith. Lahagid Ba'Boiker Chastecho, V'emunoscho Ba'Leilois. The concept of a miracle, of a ness, is showing that someone's running the world. We look around sometimes and we see nature. We don't understand that there's someone running it. And HaKadosh Baruch comes along and makes a ness, a miracle. He changes the teva. He says, listen, there's someone over all of us. I can do whatever I want. A ness is boike. A ness is a revelation. We see that there's someone around. Why is the Gemara in Yuma comparing Esther to Soif HaLailo? Esther wasn't Soif HaLailo, Esther was Soif HaYoim. It was the last time that a big miracle was taking place. The Gemara should compare it to something which is at the end of the day, not the end of the night. Esther was Soif HaYoim, not Soif HaLailo. That's what Yitzchak Naivishitz asks. And the last question, Yitzchak Blekach already asks, that on Purim we're very busy with Megillas Esther. That is the mitzvah of Purim that we're busy with twice, Kriyas Megillas Esther. We don't see by any other Yom Tov that there's an Inyan to read the Megillah. Pesach, tremendous miracles took place. But we don't see any mention of it. An Inyan to be Kairo Megillah, to say something. On Chanukah, Megillah Santiochus, there's no Chiyuv or Inyan to read it. What is so special? What is so special about Purim that when it comes to Purim, Chazal and Masakin, they base the whole Inyan of Purim on Kriyas HaMegillah? What is so special, Meyuchad, about Purim that Dafka there, when it comes to Purim, Chazal made such an emphasis and a Chiyuv on us to be Kriyas the Megillah Sester? These are the four questions. Question number one, why is it that when it comes to Pesach, we're constantly mentioning and reiterating it, whereas by Purim, not a word throughout the year? Question number two, Pshat in the Gemara and Chulin that says, Esther mena Torah minayin, what's so special about Esther that the Gemara is looking for her, that a miracle happened to her? Question number three, of Yitzchak Naivishitz Kasha, the Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara compares Esther to Soif HaLailo. The Chayr Esther was Soif HaYoim, was the last big miracle that took place, we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And question number four, the Yitzchak Lekas Kasha, what is so special about Megillas Esther, that Dafka on Purim, there's a Chiyav, and it's incumbent on us to be Kari the Megillas Esther? These are the four questions. So I want to begin the answer. I want to tell over Moshel, the Gaon brings it down. It's not from him, it's originally from the Yosef Lekach. An amazing idea. And hopefully through this, Moshel will understand why these questions are no longer Shvek. The Gaon brings down the Medrash, that there was a king who had a son, an only son, whom he loved very much. And it looks like he showed his love for his son a little bit too much. And he began arguing his surrounding ministers. It was beginning to cause jealousy. They were, they started resenting it. You know, you're always so busy with your son, nothing else. And together they developed a plan. They're going to create some animosity, some hatred toward them. And they'll make up a story. Basically, they sat down together, they came up with a plan, and kachava. They made up such a story, the king fell for it. He was sure his son had done something terribly wrong, and he banished him from the kingdom forever. The king, as angry as he was, and upset as he was, he knew that his son's going to go out of the palace grounds. He's not going to live. He's not going to survive. He's never been out there. He's never ever been out. How's he going to survive? And the king called in a few secret agents, and he said to them, listen, I'm sending my son out, and I want to give you a job. But this job is secret. It's going to remain between me and between you. You are to guard my son to make sure nothing bad happens to him. But he is not to see you. He should not know that you're around. And you report back to me and to no one else. And kachava, we can imagine the son's going out of the palace grounds, we can imagine the fear, the emotional turmoil he's going through, he's heartbroken, his father, the one who he loved so much, just kicked him out, doesn't care about him. He was a king, he was a prince, he's now gone to a pauper. He's never been out of the palace grounds. If he has, it was with an entourage with security guards. All of a sudden he's left alone, he's mummish, he's got nothing going for him. He's walking out there, he doesn't know what's happening. It doesn't take long until the first bad situation happens. And mummish, something's bad's about to happen. His mummish about to be knocked over. Something's going to happen. And boom, last second, all of a sudden, miracle happens and he gets saved. Amazing coincidence. He carries on walking the next day again. He's walking along. And boom, all of a sudden, something happens again. Again, stroke of luck. How long does it take Frank de Gaulle until the son begins to open up his eyes and comprehend that there's something much more going on here? How many times is it possible, says de Gaulle, for the son to blame it on chance, to blame it on coincidence? There's a limit how many times it can happen. And Tucker, it didn't take long. The son suddenly started realizing, he looked out, and he began realizing that there was movement, people were following him around. And it didn't take long until he came to the clear realization that there were security guards and they had been sent by his father, the king. Can you imagine what the son's going through at these points now? He's thinking to himself, I thought my father hated me. I thought he didn't care about me. And instead I see that my father loved me. He still loves me. He sent people after me. He's watching over me constantly. The son, all at that moment, the ava, the love that he got for his father was a love which the son of which we cannot fathom. He felt so emotionally close to his father in those moments. Says the Gaon that the moshel is mamish to nimshel. Klal Yisrael have been sent in Golos. Le'oleinu, there's times where in Golos, in the darkness, in the Choshech, says the Gaon, and we think to ourselves, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care about us, Chas V'Shalom? Is he mashgiach over us? Is he watching over us? Says the Gaon, there's not a moment in the day, there's not a rega in the yoyim, says the Gaon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being mashgiach over us. Something that is not meant to happen to us is not going to happen to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us every single second of the day. He's making sure that no bad things which are not meant to happen to us is going to happen to us, says the Gaon. And the Gaon continues and says that is what Purim is all about. Purim, you look around, it was all nature, it was all natural. Someone who doesn't look too deep is not going to see much, as we're going to see soon, Rizal Hashem. You don't see it very lot, says the Gaon. It looks like everything was running al pi teva. But, says the Gaon, if you look carefully, if a person is mispoiling, if he contemplates about it, he'll suddenly start realizing that every time a dangerous moment came up, boom, something managed to be in the right place to save us, says the Gaon. That, says the Gaon, is what Purim is all about. Yes, says the Gaon, we're not mazker it daily. We can't mention it like Pesach, says the Gaon. Because Pesach was open miracles. Pesach was clear to all. So Pesach is something we can mention. Any single person, without contemplating too deeply, says the Gaon, can realize and appreciate the niflois and see the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that we can mention. But Purim, which took place for Hester, says the Gaon, something which wasn't clear to all, something which requires thought, and it's pointless, that, says the Gaon, is something which Chazal wanted the Chayav us to mention daily, because it's too much for us. But at least Pesach, which was open, we can mention. But nevertheless, says the Gaon, it's still incumbent on a person to stop and be mispoinen and what the Parsha of Purim is all about. But the Gaon doesn't stop, he continues. We all know that when a parent goes with their child to a puppet show, it's an amazing treat for the child. But the truth is, says the Gaon, that there's two different scenarios taking place here. There's one scenario of the little child who's sitting at the table and he's watching the puppets and he's struck by an amazement and awe as these puppets are running along. Each one seems to have its own life. Every one of them is busy doing something else and he happens to be there in the right time. And it's amazing, says the Gaon, as you watch each puppy, each one has its own life. Whereas, says the Gaon, you've got the child's mother who's sitting there and she's laughing. She knows that the puppets haven't got any life of their own. There's someone behind the curtain. There's someone pulling some strings, making sure that that puppet's there in the right time. And that puppet's there in the right time. No puppet has got a life of its own. There's someone behind, pulling all the strings, making sure that this puppet is ready to get that puppet when it's meant to. And that one's going to be there when he's meant to be there. There's someone behind the scenes, says the Gaon. So the Gaon, that not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over us and nothing bad should happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also making sure that the refuah is there beforehand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around, making sure that things are in the right place at the right time for when they're meant to be there, says the Gaon. Says the Gaon, when you think about it, when you think about Purim, says the Gaon, as someone who doesn't think too deeply thinks, what's the big thing about Purim? We make a zarash about Purim. What's the big ness that took place? There was one story about a king, very wealthy king. He made a big party, he got drunk, and he killed his wife. There was a miracle involved? I don't see any miracle. Very normal thing to happen. When I was in school, King Henry, I was told, had 6 wives. It's very normal. The king had many wives. That's how it was. You aren't happy, you killed your wife. There was another story of 2 security guards who plotted together to kill the king. And it happened to be there was a Jewish guy around who saved the king's life. It's not very abnormal, something which happens constantly. There was another story where he fell in love. She happened to be Jewish, it was her bad problem. And Achashverosh really liked her, so he married her. Where was Nissen? Where was miracles? And the false story was that she was a beautiful woman, so he did whatever his wife told him. So she said, kill the minister, so he killed the minister. Where was Nissen? Where was miracles? We have to remember, says Simcha Zisel, that when we look at the Megillah, we see it beskira achas. We see it in one glance. We sit there and we read it from the beginning till the end. So to us, it's easier to see the miracles that are taking place. But Rav Simcha Zisel points out already that the miracles of Purim took place over 9 years. 9 years. Any normal guy who lived there, what did he see? 1 year there was a party and he killed his wife. A few years later there was a story of the security guards. A few years later he fell in love with a woman. And a few years later he killed his minister. Where was connections? Where was anything going on? It was a bunch of coincidences. It's very unclear, especially for someone who lived in that generation, to see the Yad Hashem clearly. It's very, very unclear. But, says the Gaon and the other Mefarshim, if a person would contemplate a little bit more, then he would see that something was going on. For instance, the Yosef Lekach brings out, why do we have to be told, says the Yosef Lekach, the whole story with Vashti, Chazal tell us she was a beautiful woman, and that she did something bad, and Achashverosh killed her, why didn't it get to us? Says the Gaon, you know what, says the Yosef Lekach, you know why? Because at the end of the Megillah, when the story takes place and Esther persuades Achashverosh to kill Haman, we're going to say to ourselves, there was a miracle involved, there was an Esther. What do you mean? She was beautiful and she persuaded the husband, go and kill Haman. Says Yosef Lekach, if that's so true, then how is it that Vashti, who was also a beautiful woman, couldn't persuade the husband to forgive her, to find a pretext to save her life, to give her another chance? Asa means that it wasn't so simple. Achashverosh was someone who didn't fall for his emotions so easily. He was someone who kept, you know, he knew what he was doing. Ah, so how did Esther Taka persuade him to kill Haman? Ah, that means there was someone else behind the scenes running it. So it's Lekach, it's just the hispaniness that's required in order to see the small nakudas that are there. And I want to go through a few nakudas just to bring out this idea. For instance, you know, before that, that, says Yosef Lekach, is why we have to read the Megillah. That is why the chiyuv on Purim Dafka to be Kuri Megillah Esther. Because by the other Yom Tovim, by Pesach, by Chanukah, the Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu did were clear to all. There was Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim, Chazok Biyad Chaloshim. It was very clear to everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world. Whereas, says Yosef Lekach, when you come to Purim, it was very unclear. If you're not misplaining, if you don't think about it enough, says the Yosef Lekach, then it wasn't clear that miracles were taking place. And that's why, says Yosef Lekach, Chazal will mechayev us to be carrying the Megillah. That's why there's such an emphasis on Megillah's Esther, that only through being carrying the Megillah, only through being misplaining and thinking about it, can a person see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu played from the beginning till the end. And I want to bring out a few dugmois from that. For instance, Chazal begin with Kesheves HaMelech. Chazal HaMedayek already, what's the Kesheves HaMelech? And there's an amazing medrash, Chazal tell us that when Nebuchadnezzar went into Eretz Yisrael, he saw Shlomo HaMelech's throne. It was an amazing piece. We can imagine Shlomo HaMelech was a chochum mikol odom. It was something which was an amazing piece. The money that he put in, the wisdom that he put in. We're told there had steps leading up to the chair. There was animals on each side. It was something to see. And Achashverosh fell in love with it. And he commanded his guards, his soldiers, to take it back to him to Babel so he can use it. Says the Medrash, Achashverosh tried sitting on the throne, and an embarrassing episode happened to him. Something happened, he couldn't sit on it anymore. It wasn't possible. The animal started shouting. He got the shock of his life. There wasn't a chance. Next, he didn't touch it ever again. After him came Parinakim Mitzrayim, say Chazal, and he tried sitting on it, and again the lion swiped at him, and it made him lame for the rest of his life. No one was able to sit on this throne. Achashverosh was an eunuch from Nebuchadnezzar. Vashti was his eunuch. He married Vashti. He wanted to sit on the throne, but he knew that he's going to sit on the throne, he'll be in trouble. So he commanded his soldiers to build him an exact replica, or as exact as it could be, of this throne, say Chazal. And his workers got busy, but punked, funnily enough, he only managed to find workers who live in Shushan. And punked, funnily enough, he only managed to find the materials he needed in Shushan. And Chazal tell us that after 3 years, his soldiers finished building it. And they said, I'm sorry, the Targum Sheni already speaks out. They couldn't schlep the throne, it was too heavy, they couldn't take it to Babel. Until now, all the kings had sat in Babel. And Achashverosh didn't have a choice, he had to move over his whole kingdom to Shushan. And if a person thinks about it, it seems quite funny. Nebuch, you know, he had a bad stroke of luck. He wanted the throne, he didn't have a choice, he had to move over. Say Chazal, rubbish. There's something much deeper going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yavoi HaNochosh LeHachaveh. Let this viper, let this vermin, let this rosh LeHashresh come to Mordechai. Why should Mordechai have to go over all the way to Babel for the miracle to take place, say Chazal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, let the king, with his whole kingdom, uproot himself and come over to Shushan that the miracle could take place. There was something deeper going on here. The Megillah continues. The whole story with Vashti and Haman comes along and he's an advisor to the Melech and he gives over his counsel. And again, you see an amazing idea. Haman was the smallest of all the ministers. Who are you to open your mouth? Keep quiet. There's guys who are bigger than you, who have more to say. Keep quiet. Let them say their say. And then you come along and say what you want to say. Why are you opening your mouth? And nevertheless, he does open his mouth and he says an amazing idea. What was his idea? Says the Gaon, that Haman said, Achashverosh, you're the king, and it doesn't make sense that you have to go through parliament. Until then, the law in the country was that if an edict had to be decreed, so the king said it, and then they sat down, they had the EU and the parliament, and they discussed it, and then it was accepted or not accepted. Says the Gaon, that Haman came and said, Achashverosh, you're the king. You should have the last word. You should be able to say something which is negiah to you or to your malchus, and you shouldn't have to go through other people. And it was an amazing idea, and Haman, because of that, got taken all the way up. He mamish became the head minister. And we can imagine Haman's thoughts at those moments, how excited and proud he was of himself. What an amazing idea. And Taka, we see that Achashverosh used it. When did he use it? Later on, at the end of the Megillah, when he was angry with Haman, he said, kill him immediately. And they killed him immediately. And if Haman himself wouldn't have given this kliach to Achashverosh, then we can imagine what would have happened. Achashverosh would have had to pass it over to the parliament, they'd have had to discuss it. In the meantime, Achashverosh's anger would have subsided. Meantime, Haman's friends would have persuaded Achashverosh. It wouldn't have happened. But only now, because Haman had prepared already beforehand this path for Achashverosh, he can say something that's going to happen. Memele, it happened straight away. It wasn't coincidence. There was someone behind the scenes. There was someone preparing it. And it continues. The whole story with Bigson and Seresh. An amazing bunch of coincidences. Punct, Bigson and Seresh happened to be speaking in a non-private place where anyone could hear. Punct, Mordechai came along at that right moment when they were still speaking. Imagine Mordechai would have come along 5 minutes later, he would have missed the whole story. He punct came along at the right time. And funnily enough, Achashverosh forgot to give him a reward. A king forgets to give a reward, there's no such thing. And punct, when they wrote it down, the Sefer HaZichronos was written, Lifnei HaMelech, the Megillah says. Lifnei HaMelech, you don't normally, the Sefer doesn't sit in front of the king all day writing down what happens, says Yeshu Blackav. But punk, this time, he wrote it down. So many punks. But there was no punk, says the Yesh Lekach, says the Gaon. These things are prepared. You know why it was written before the Achashverosh? So that later on, when Achashverosh can't sleep at night, he's going to remember, I remember them writing down, Sefer HaZichronos, bring it to me. Everything was there for a reason. The whole story of Balaila, who Nodosh Nasa Melech. Again, so many coincidences. Punk Achashverosh couldn't sleep. Punk, he asked for the Sefer HaZichronos. Which king, or somebody who can't sleep, asked for a thick book of remembrances? If you can't sleep, you ask for some music to put you down to sleep. You get a splitting headache by the time you finish looking at it. Which king asked for a whole book? And punct, Haman decided to come that night to speak to Achashverosh. And punct, he came at the right time to speak to him. There were so many punks going on here again. So many coincidences, say the Mefarshim. And the truth is, we could blame on coincidence. But do we want to blame on coincidence? Does it make sense to us to blame on coincidence? The Haman comes into the room, he knocks on the back door, and Achashverosh says, who's there? And they say, Haman, so he brings him in. And the Pasuk says some very interesting words. Before Haman had come into the room, Achashverosh had been talking to his ministers, and he said to his ministers, have we given Manasseh Yokor Ugdullah to Mordechai? Have we given Yokor Ugdullah? And later on, when Haman came into the room, and Achashverosh spoke to him, the Pasuk says, a very small slip of the tongue. Before, when Achashverosh was speaking to his servants, he mentioned Gedullah. And now when Achashverosh is speaking to Haman, he doesn't mention Gedullah. He mentions Bikoroi. What's the difference, for example, the Gaon, the Yosef Lekach? What's the difference between these two Lashonos? So they point out an amazing idea. Achashverosh was very, very worried, the Mefarshim said. That's why he couldn't sleep that night. He was very uneasy about the whole story that his wife is risking her life to come to him without being called, and she wants to invite his minister, Haman, just them two. He was worried, there's something sinister going on here. There's a plan, someone's behind the scenes. He didn't know what was going on. He thought maybe they wanted to assassinate him. He wasn't sure, he was very, very uneasy. And he was also Azad Tzarasayin. He was a guy, he doesn't like giving out money. It wasn't easy for him. So when he started off, he was like, hey, we never gave Mordechai a reward. And maybe that's why Esther and Haman are coming to me. They want to ask for a massive reward. So he said to his servants, what big reward can we give to Mordechai? He said, I can tell Esther by the party. I've given him. Don't worry. It's fine. But then when Haman comes into the room, Achashverosh, his typhus took over, and he's like, I can't give him too much. He said, my last advice is to be Bikori. I want to give Mordechai something small. Achashverosh was worried if he offers too much, Haman is going to pounce on it and take loads. He said, no, Bikori, I want to give him something small. Now Haman, says the Gaon, he came in, and he hears Achashverosh using a very strange word, Bikori. So Haman's thinking, why didn't Achashverosh use the word Gedula? Ah, you know why. Because Achashverosh must be talking about me. And I have got all the gedula possible because I'm the richest man in the land and I've got the second most powerful position in the land. So he's talking about me. So he can't use the word gedula because gedula connotes money or prestige and I've got that. So that's why he's using a strange lashon of yokar in order to say I want to give you something that bit extra over the top of it. So Haman, because of this slip of the tongue of Achashverosh, came out with this whole mamish azah taivatika reward that he should be taken around on the king's horse, a massive, massive reward. So Achashverosh fell into it, Haman fell into it, only because of these slips of the tongue, they all made these strange mistakes. Again, lots of strange mistakes happening. The whole story with Hamino eights, that Haman comes along, he's got an eights prepared. It was 50 amas high, the pasuk says. 50 amas is crazy, crazy, crazy height. What was his taiva? What was Haman's thoughts behind it? He wanted to make it so high. And again, the Gaon is masbir that we all know there's four things which Re'iyah has over Shmiyah. And one of the things is that when you hear something, you've heard it, and it's gone. You no longer hear it anymore. But when you see something, you can constantly look at it and enjoy it and see it. Haman had a Zah Taiva, he wanted to be able to sit in the king's palace, wherever he is, sit down and see Mordechai hanging there, Mamish Azah Gishmak, a thing, Gedoyle Re'iyah ben Ashmiya, he can see him constantly throughout the day, hanging there, dead. That was Haman's Taiva. Say Chazal, okay, so it looks like a Taiva, but Chazal, there's something much more going on here again. What's Pshat? Later on, at the story, at the Soda, so Achashverosh runs out, he's fuming, and Harvina says, you see that tree? That tree, yeah, Gedoyle Re'iyah ben Ashmiya, that tree there, he was actually going to hang Mordechai on. And Achashverosh sees it with his eyes, and it makes such an effect on him, such an impact on him, he said, just hang him on himself then. Only because he saw it. It was clear in front of his eyes. He said, just hang him on there. If you'd have just heard about it, it's not possible that you would have told him to hang him on it. But Gedoyle Re'iyah ben Ashmiya. And the Gaon points out as well that when Chavona pointed out the tree to Achashverosh, if you look in the Pesukim, he used some very strange Lashonis. And Achashverosh got completely mixed up. He thought that Chavona was telling him that Haman wanted to hang him up on it. He was like, oh, definitely hang him up on it. He got completely mixed up. There were so many strange Lashonis going on here the whole time throughout the Megillah. And this, say the Mefarshim, is what the Megillah is all about. If a person, says the Gaon, is willing to be mispoinen, to contemplate, and to think about the nisim that were taking place, then a person would be able to see mamish clearly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running everything the whole time. And that is why Chazal mechayev us to read it from the beginning to the end. Megillas Esther is all about being Megale the Hester. Look at the Hester, look at nature, look how it looks. Be Megale it, reveal it, look what's behind it. Look how someone is running the whole show the whole way along. This says the Gaon is trapped in the Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara and Chulin came around and said, Esther menatari minayin. And we said, what do you mean Esther? What's so special about Esther that you're looking to ask about Esther? There's many tzaddikim throughout the generations that this took place to them. Says the Gaon, you're 100% right, we weren't asking about Esther. The Gemara is asking Esther menatari. How do we know that even in the Zaman of Golos, even in the Zaman of Choshech, that even when we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we know that then there's such a concept of Esther? How do we know that then there's a concept of someone running the show? That someone is planning everything before and they're making sure the right things happen? The Gemara wasn't asking Dafka on Esther. The Gemara was asking, how do you know that in the Zaman of Hester, even then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Mashkiach over it, over us? And that's as Rebbe Yosef Naibish says in the Gemara as well. We ask the Kashuf on the Gemara and Yuma, that the Gemara and Yuma comes along and says that Esther is Soif HaLailo. And we said, what's Soif HaLailo? Esther is Soif HaYoim, was the last of the miracles when Hashem was clear. Says Rebbe Yosef Naibish, it's much deeper than that. Esther was Soif HaLailo. Esther revealed to us that even in something which we call Lailo, something which looks bad, something in Golos, something which we can't see the Yad Hashem, there's no such thing as Lailo. Esther showed us that there isn't something called Laila. Esther showed us that everything is called Yoim. Esther said it's Esther's Soifa Yoim. Esther said, Rabbi Yisrael, you should know everything is Yoim. HaKadosh Baruch is constantly around. There's never a Zman when he's not being Mashkiach over us. He's constantly being Mashkiach over us. But we have to be willing to look. We have to be willing to be Mespoinen and to see how she's watching over us. And that is taka how the Megillah ends off. The Megillah ends off. And the Megillah says, "V'chol ma'isei tokvoi gvorosoi." If you want to know history, halim k'suvim edivrei hayomim. You want to know all history? Look in the king's history books. But if you want to know the Megillah, you want to know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. If you want to know that, then read Megillah Sester. If you want to see the other HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to be willing to do that. And the truth is, it's mefurish pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim. The Arshav points out already in Parshas Nitzavim that when the Goyim are speaking about Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayashlichim al Eretz Acheres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chucked us out. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Klal Yisrael, he says, Im yeh nedachacho. Says the Alshech, what's the difference between Yashlichim and nedachacho? Says the Alshech, very simple. Yashlichim means to throw. When you throw something, you stand on your place and you chuck it. Says the Goyim, he chucked you out. He's left you, he's here. And he's chucked you down there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being Mashkiach of you anymore. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeh nedachacho, I never chucked you, I pushed you. If you want to push someone constantly, you have to stand behind them and push them and push them. You have to be with them the whole time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never ever left you. I constantly accompanied you, I was always behind you. I was watching over you constantly the whole time. That, Rabbi Yisai, is the foundation of Purim. That is one of the main yesodes of what Purim is all about. Just we have to be willing to be mespoinen, to think about the amazing miracles that took place, and then we'll be able to see them clearly. Shkech.